Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
In the piece that I referred to that you wrote for a publication called Resurgent, you wrote, Muslim, quote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned, end of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian, and I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about.
An exchange between Senator Bernie Sanders and President Trump's nominee for the Office of Management and Budget, Russell Vought. Russell Vought expressing both written and there in that testimony. Well, is what he expressed there out of the mainstream of what Christians believe and have believed? And is Senator Bernie Sanders suggesting with his final comments there a religious litmus test for federal appointees? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, the 12th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Ramesh Panuru will join us to talk about Senator Bernie Sanders, well, what it sounds like, implying a religious test for federal appointees, and how far would that apply to other Christians in government who hold that view. Dr. Bill Weinrich will join us later to remember, along with the rest of the church, the First Council of Nicaea. Feel free to join us over the next hour with your questions or your comments, or call in number 1-877-623-MY-IE, or email address talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Bernie Sanders' religious test for federal appointees, Ramesh Panuru. He's senior editor for National Review and author of several books, including The Party of Death and a recent column for Bloomberg View titled Bernie Sanders is a Lousy Theologian. Ramesh, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Is this a religious test articulated or at least implied by Senator Sanders?
Oh, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. There are tens of millions of Americans who have views about salvation that don't apply to everybody based on what they believe religiously. And Sanders, if you take what he's saying seriously, is saying those people don't belong in high federal office. This is something the founders were completely aware of, that people had different views of salvation. And their view on the matter was pretty clearly expressed in the Constitution with the no religious test provision, which is essentially saying this kind of thing is just not relevant to high office, and people are just going to be allowed to believe whatever they believe and argue for whatever they want to believe, and it's not going to be a problem for them in holding office.
Are Russell Vought's views, whatever they may be, even if they were far outside the mainstream of Christianity or some other religion, are they relevant to his appointment to the Office of Management and Budget?
Yes, that's a good question. I think the answer is no, they're not relevant to his job, the job that he's going for, which is to be deputy director of the Office of Management and Budget. I bring up the fact that tens of millions of people believe similar things to what he does, just to show just how wide-reaching this religious test would be if you applied it strictly.
Well, it happens to be a view that I share. I don't know what other religious views I would share with Russell Vought, but that basic belief in the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ to be the only way of salvation seems to me a sine qua non of Christianity. It would preclude just about any Christian, other than one that's radically pluralistic, from serving in any office, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm a Catholic. We believe that everybody who is saved through Jesus Christ. We leave open the possibility that Jesus is capable of saving people who don't formally belong to his church. That's sort of, you know, kind of above our pay grade. So we wouldn't put it quite the way that Russ Vought did, but we have a pretty similar belief. I mean, if we do believe that you go to heaven through Jesus, and that's the only way.
So what does Senator Sanders, he seemed a bit shocked to have read this from Russell Vought. What does he fail to understand about both Christianity and about a qualification for high office?
Well, I think that there is a long list of things that he's not understanding. For one thing, I don't think he grasped what Vought meant when he was quoting Jesus' words from the gospel, saying that those who reject me stand condemned. He was making a specific point about salvation. It's not clear to me that Sanders even understood that. I think he thought it was just a general statement of hostility by Vought towards people who are not Christians. So that's your basic mistake number one. And then I think mistake number two is in thinking that this is some kind of a fringe view, which, as you're saying, as we're both saying, it isn't. And then third, that it is relevant to his job at the Office of Management and Budget. Look, you could support or oppose Vought's nomination, but opposing him because of his theological views is at the very least a violation of the spirit of the Constitution.
Does Senator Sanders also fail to take into account, just as a matter of kind of being fully informed on the subject that he seemed to want to discuss, that there are many Muslims who would have an equally and somewhat opposite exclusive view about Christians? They would say, look, Christians, we love you, but unless you're a Muslim, you have no chance of eternal life with Allah.
You know, I think that is one of the things that he doesn't get is the extent to which any religion, any coherent body of belief is going to be making some kinds of exclusive claims of truth. At one point, he seems to be complaining that Vought said that the theology of Muslims is deficient. And, you know, look, if you're a Christian, you are going to believe the theology of Muslims is deficient. If you're Muslim, you're going to believe the theology of Christians is deficient because you believe what you believe and you believe that the things you believe are true. That's just in the nature of belief. And Sanders just doesn't seem to have reflected on this for a moment in a long life.
The broader context here, Ramesh, seems a little more concerning to me because Bernie Sanders might get educated by his staff and mitigate his statements. But Bernie Sanders had a pretty unprecedented following in the last presidential election. And he was portray himself as the most broad-minded of the candidates that were out there and the most tolerant of the candidates that were out there of American ideals and of freedoms. What does his statement say about that portrayal of himself?
Look, I'm a conservative. I don't agree with Senator Sanders on a lot of things. I have, in the last couple of months, been appreciative of a couple of the things he's done. I appreciated last year that he went and spoke at Liberty University to a predominantly evangelical Christian audience. I appreciate that he has been positive about some aspects of free speech and that he has said that you can be a Democrat and be pro-life and that he's not going to exclude people on that basis. But this, I think, suggests that the basic philosophy doesn't get the historic American practice of tolerance and of religious freedom. He just doesn't seem to understand what that entails.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation, Ramesh, that the Founding Fathers anticipated exactly this kind of situation, for those who hold office or those who would be appointed to office. Go into a little more detail.
So the founders were intimately aware of these sorts of conflicts because at that time and for the preceding several centuries, Christendom had been riven by these arguments, conflicts, sometimes violent conflicts, that fundamentally centered on theological questions and on questions of salvation. And they wanted to have a government that might be informed by a religiously based morality, but that was not sectarian and didn't require people to have particular theological views in order to be good citizens, in order to be good public servants. They wrote a constitution that said that there wouldn't be any religious tests for office. You wouldn't be excluded from a government job, you know, because you were a Baptist or because you were a Presbyterian or even because you were a Catholic, as out of the mainstream as we Catholics were back at that time, or even if you were Jewish. That was the way the Constitution was written, to keep these kinds of theological disputes out of government, not because they were unimportant, but because they didn't pertain to the structure of our government.
Had Vought simply responded to Senator Sanders' objections by saying, look, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Take it up with him, Senator Sanders. How do you think Sanders might have responded?
You know, I think that if you listen to that clip, if you watch the video clip, Sanders doesn't really let Vought get a word in edgewise. I'm not sure how well he was going to be allowed to explain himself. I think Sanders came in with a particular agenda and viewpoint and wasn't going to let anything get him off that track. If I were him, I would have just started by saying, look, I am going to support the equal rights of all Americans. That is not at issue here. I was making a particular theological claim in response to other theological claims. The Senate floor, with all due respect, Mr. Senator, is not the place for us to be arguing about that.
If Senator Sanders were consistent, wouldn't the only people eligible to serve in public office be atheists, agnostics, religious liberals, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to have an idea of salvation and of heaven that had a very rigorous non-discrimination principle. Perhaps it would need an EEOC, a celestial EEOC.
How widespread, though, do you think the sentiment, if not the kind of formal thinking, if there was a lot of thinking going on with respect to Sanders' statements here, but how widespread do you think that sentiment is, both in government, that look, the people who hold these views, this is not the kind of people we want holding high office, and then in the United States generally, Ramesh?
I think the culture of contemporary liberalism, particularly contemporary secular liberalism, is suffused with this kind of ignorance and this kind of suspicion of strong religious belief, that there is a reflex that says that if you have a strong belief, that's intolerant, that's something that we have to be careful about and guard against, and it's potentially tyrannical, and it's coupled with ignorance of religious tradition, of religious doctrine. You know, 30, 40 years ago, I think there would have been, of course, plenty of people with heterodox religious views, plenty of people who were agnostics or lightly churched, but our culture was such that you had to have a certain background level of awareness of what religious people believed, and I think that cultural change has caused that basic background understanding to erode, and Sanders' comments reflect it.
Are we seeing, in effect, here in Sanders' statements, and albeit Sanders is one of them, he's an outlier in terms of many of his views in the U.S. Senate, but are we seeing here the politicization of religious views? In other words, I can't distinguish what you just said theologically from a political statement about Muslims.
I think that, you know, I think that a lot of our cultural struggles and debates have had the character of a religious conflict, in part because, you know, they, some of these things have split churches as well. That these moral questions, particularly with respect to abortion and same-sex marriage, and these things all just get sort of jumbled up together in our politics.
Would you expect this kind of question or statement approach that we saw in Sanders in this appointment hearing to become more common in future appointment hearings if it's proved successful in overturning appointees?
Well, I hope that there is a substantial pushback and that other Democrats will take a step back and say, let's not go down this road. But I think it's possible. I do think that with the rise in the percentage of Americans who have no religious affiliation and the rise in the number of people who are kind of hostile to religion, I think this kind of thing could happen more and more in the future.
Ramesh Panuru is senior editor for National Review. He's author of several books, including The Party of Death and a recent column for Bloomberg View titled Bernie Sanders is a Lousy Theologian. You can read this column and purchase The Party of Death at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ramesh, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Take care.
On this day, the church is remembering something back from, what was it, 325, a significant date, by the way, in the church's history, the First Council of Nicaea. We're going to find out what brought this council about, what it talked about, dispel some of the myths that have accrued to it. Dr. Bill Weinrich will be our guest right after the break.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.